Hey, Ben.
Yo, what's up?
If you had to choose one of my characters, let's play a little game, right? So you're going to choose one of my characters, and I'm going to choose my favorite of your character. You get, out of all of my characters, choose one of my characters that is your favorite, and I will choose one of your characters that is one of my favorites.
Okay, okay.
Do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
Yeah, sure. I picked Spade.
Spade's your favorite of all of my characters.
I think it is.
Really? Is it just that crazy busted walking speed?
No, it's the paunch.
It's the paunch. You know, I can respect that. If I were to pick one of my favorite characters of yours, out of all of your characters, I think I'd have to go for a character that's kind of the underdog, I would argue, out of all of your characters.
He's would a very it be Jabble niche Fabble? Character.
No, he's not. It's not actually Jabble Fabble.
A lot he's pretty much the ultimate Jabble underdog.
Fabble. But, like, the ultimate underdog out of all of your characters. Such a, like, niche little character that you had. You only played him for, like, maybe a month and a half tops. His name is Gerald Smith. I even cosplayed as him. That's how much I like him.
That is true, by the way.
So, welcome to Traveling Tips and Tales. I'm Jake.
And I'm Ben.
And Michael, unfortunately, can't be with us this week just because recently we've been having a lot of time constraint issues where it's kind of hard to get all three of us available at one time, and I obviously am the one person that doesn't do anything, so I'm always the one that's here.
Jake, you do this.
That's exactly true. This is what I do.
Yeah.
I also play a bit too much video games. Anyways, though.
I think we've all been there.
Welcome to Traveler's Tips and Tales, a rare Jake and Ben exclusive episode. But today, we're here to do exactly what Jake and Ben do best, and that's the only form of podcast episode where it's okay for us to be off topic the whole time.
Oh, we're just going to ramble for 3 hours?
That's exactly what we do
best. And then cut it down to one?
Yeah, that's exactly what we do best. And so we're here to talk about just kind of the general relationship between Ben's character Gerald Smith and my character Cade and the small adventure that they went on.
Yeah, it was a short-lived adventure to be sure, but I think in my opinion it will live on in my heart forever as one of my like fondest D&D memories.
And if you guys go back to session 37, we talk about it briefly in one of Ben's spells, the Dream of the Blue Veil spell, where you like interdimensionally travel. This is
We talk about the circumstances.
Yes, this is the one of the instances that we would have used that in because this is
running
two dimensions.
Yeah, I was running a game consistently every week, every Sunday for like 8 to 10 hours a day, like every week. It was a long session.
Without
fail. We had to prep a lot for it.
No weeks off. Didn't really matter if there was like a holiday or anything. We'd still play.
I would just do holiday special episodes of my campaign, you know. Yeah. And I was getting really worn out because I was pumping out D&D games and content and all that stuff. And really just doing it for fun. I had a bunch of other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So I was getting really worn out. And I was like, I'm not going to lie, guys. Like, I'm getting really worn out. So our good buddy Kevin stepped up. And he said, look, I've got a world, I've got this island, I can put the players on, there's no way they can get off of it, and we'll just go through the quest line and it'll be great, right? Yeah. Just have some time off. I was like, you know what, sounds good, I'll even play.
Yeah.
So
Ben rolled up this good old character, Gerald Smith.
Yep. Who, at the time I messed up, I actually started him off with triple proficiency in something, and I didn't realize that was impossible, but according to his everything he had, he should have had it. He should have had triple proficiency in medicine.
Yeah, at least it was something that's not too important and groundbreaking as medicine, you know.
Yeah, it's unless you have like a healer's kit or whatever, or a medicine kit.
I guess.
Yeah, but Gerald was a homebrew class with a homebrew background, and he was a human. Mm-hmm. And he was a homebrew background. It was like a healer, like a medic or something like that. It was a doctor.
Yeah.
And he had like medical degrees and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was a healer. So he had access to the entire cleric spell list, but couldn't prepare any spells that make people make saving throws or take damage. So he was legit a healer.
Anything that had a spell attack or a saving throw
mm-hmm.
to be made.
Couldn't take it. And if he ever harmed a living creature willingly, or if he ever harmed a good aligned creature willingly, he would lose all of his magic.
Yeah.
Right then.
He took three Hippocratic Oaths, I believe.
Yes.
Right?
Three. Yes. So he took one when he completed medical school. Mm-hmm. He took one when he completed a medical school for magical healing, and he took a third when he completed medical school for non-human races. And then he minored in psychology.
Because why not?
Yeah, he didn't start adventuring until he was like 35 years old.
I kind of like having like older characters sometimes that are like midlife.
Yeah, like he legit didn't start adventuring until he was in his mid to late 30s. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
And by the time you guys met him, he was like in his late 30s.
So Cade and the couple of players and characters that this was kind of like in a weird like draw phase where like there weren't too many other like main characters in that game at the time. Like a couple of people's characters like died just recently and hadn't been reintroduced yet as their new characters. And so there was kind of like a lull of like a couple of like, you know, just this kind of like area where it wasn't necessary for us to have everyone show up all the time. And it was just Cade. I think Lava Lamp was there.
He was there. Was he in his lich form at the time?
I don't think so.
No, I never met Lava. Later. Gerald never met Lava Lamp until later on.
I don't know who Dalton played. But
did he even play in that part?
Well, I mean, Lava Lamp happened before this. Like, yeah. Lava Lamp existed before. Like, Lava Lamp existed with Shayna, and Shayna was dead by the time that this happened.
I know
the timeline
somebody...
is really confusing.
Yeah, somebody was playing a Dragonborn. I think Dalton was playing a Dragonborn.
I think. Yeah, it was a whole thing, but. Basically, the big plot line to get us onto this stinking island that Kevin had for us was we won the lottery, basically, for no reason at all.
Well, we had to buy tickets.
But... Yeah, IRL, it was rigged, right, because this is the plot line to hook us all together. But, I mean, to our characters, it was just chance. So we win, and we redeem a one-time visit to a tropical island.
Vacation.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm out of game and in game now on a vacation. And it's important to note also that my world is filled with demons and horrible things and war and all this horrible stuff that's going on. And all of a sudden, the party is just like a tropical vacation.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
That pretty much makes sense with like the moral ambiguity that our party just had, where it's just like, I really don't care anymore. Like,
yeah.
Like we were not really that great of people.
Completely different off-topic realization, but I think the reason none of my games ever get finished is because my campaigns are all so long that the party just gives up.
We're just like, they're like, what are we doing anymore, man?
Yeah, they're like, you know what? We don't even care if the world ends. We don't even want to be in this world anymore. By the time my campaigns end, they're like, we're powerful enough to start our own worlds. it's like, wait, no, you're supposed to save this one.
This is before the timeline of Jabble Fabble, though.
Yes, it is.
Jabble Fabble does not exist. This is like, Cade just not too recently started up the inn. He is starting to become successful in that sense and whatnot. So it's kind of like early to mid game. We're probably around like level 6 or 7 or 8-ish.
Gerald finished the game at level 15.
Oh, dang. So then this happened after... Oh, yeah, because this happened after Shayna, which was, like, level 12.
Yeah. So we got a few levels while we were playing through that game.
Yeah.
But he stopped at level 15.
Yeah, I think we started at 12 because I think this is the time where Kevin, the new DM, was just like, anyone who doesn't currently have a character, just make a 12th level character because that's what Kate is. And I was like, hey, I worked hard to get to 12 and all these other dummy heads kept dying, so they shouldn't be at 12. I felt cheated because everyone got a couple of free levels. But yeah, I think it was 12. We started at 12 because it was probably right after the Endless Dungeon, I think.
Yeah. Which, yeah, we all needed a vacation after that.
Yeah, that was a long time of just...
That's a story for another time.
Yeah. But, so we go and we win this cruise, and it's like a 2 weeks boat ride out, right? And you might ask Traveler Jake, Traveler Ben, what do your characters do for 2 weeks? Well, we gambled. We played cards. And, I mean... going that long, it was inevitable for my character to eventually cheat with his good old-fashioned cheat ways of having his familiar on some sort of wall or ceiling hiding up in the crevices of the roof behind his opponent and just him looking through his eyes at their cards. And always knowing when to fold and when to hit and whatnot. And then Gerald, of course, isn't an idiot, so he kind of caught on after a while and started doing the same to Cade.
Except he did it, yeah, he did it with a very different method. So part of that homebrew class lets you summon as, like, being such a good and wholesome person, because Gerald actually refused to kill any animals or anything. He was a vegetarian.
Yeah.
He had a unicorn that he could summon for, like, 4 hours a day. So he would just summon his unicorn onto the ship, and everyone freaked out, of course, because it's a unicorn. Everyone would pet it, but his real reason was so that the unicorn could give him, like, motions to tell him what was going on with his hand. He, like, strategically positioned him, or he would strategically block his lizard so that he couldn't spy on me.
Yeah, it was great. It was a good time. But, yeah. So we inevitably eventually get to the island.
Yeah.
Right.
We arrive on this beautiful island, this picturesque tropical island where the natives are greeting us. And we run into someone who looks a lot like one of our party members, which is Kevin's character, because the his DM character's like, yeah, descended from people that were from here. It's like part of his backstory. So it's like, eh. Yeah. So They lead us off the boat, and they're giving us a tour, and everyone kind of spreads out. Everyone kind of takes off, except for, like, Gerald and Cade and a couple other people who are like, yeah, we'll go with you guys.
Yeah.
We'll stay with the main story.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, they let us down on the tour. They actually let us down into the Drow area, which is where we met Dale's character, the Drow.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember her name off the top of my head. I could look it up, though.
You don't remember her name?
I do not. Gerald would, but I do not.
Gerald would, but Ben sure doesn't.
Nope. Hold on.
I have a family tree of his family, so I'll just look it up. Anyway, continue.
Lynn. Her name's Lynn.
Lynn. I see.
Yeah, so we meet up with Lynn. And then... we actually weren't supposed to even look at the Drow women unless they spoke to us first. And then she just bounded up to us all peppy because it's Dale, our friend Dale. And she starts talking to us and we're like, I guess I'll buy you a drink. And then we start drinking and then Cade and Gerald started having drinks.
Yeah.
And then
we all know Cade.
Yeah.
This is at the low of it, pretty much. Or at, like, one of the first lows. In his alcoholism. So, you know, he really probably shouldn't drink, but
I feel, you know what? After, like, running my campaign and now running my new campaign, I feel like my world just drives characters to drink. It's a consistent problem. Like, someone develops some kind of substance abuse problem.
Okay, to be fair, I wrote alcoholism into Cade from the beginning. So that wasn't your world. That was just
Ace. Hate. Poor Ace.
But poor Ace. Yeah, he's been driven to that.
And Dalton's new character, Jack, he also has substance abuse problems.
But he's recovering.
He's recovering. So is Ace, but it's not.
Ace is only recovering because we're making him.
That's true.
We all know if Ace had a choice, he would keep drinking. But anyways, so Cade is not doing too hot mentally right now. And so he drinks quite a bit. And he has some sort of mental breakdown that night. I can't remember exactly what it was, because this happened like literally years ago, IRL time. Like, so I don't know the specifics. Oh my god,
that makes us feel like veterans of D&D now. I say years, it could be anywhere from 2 to 40 years ago, man.
It's about 2. Yeah, yeah. Actually, no, I think it's like almost 3 now. Maybe.
Look, we're gonna forget how many years it's been.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Let's just make ourselves feel better about ourselves by just leaving it at years.
Well, we'll create a rough estimate of how long ago it was based on this episode and its air date.
I don't know if we can, actually. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But Cade breaks down and confides in Gerald.
Right. Do you just have a hard time remembering Gerald's name?
No.
Did Why? You?
No. Why?
Because you hesitated.
Did I pause that long? Jeez.
A little bit.
You kind of did. Like, this is just like my, I don't know, my like, shut up. That's how my brain works. Leave me alone. That got cut. So Cade confides in Gerald and his advice that he has. And Gerald kind of becomes one of Cade's, because, you know, Cade is like this very, like, his brain is very childish, you know, because he hasn't ever had parents. He is very adult in certain aspects of his life, you know, like physically and logically sometimes, you know, because he is very experienced in the world. But he is not educated by any means. And he doesn't know how to cooperate with his own feelings and such. You know, kind of why he's an alcoholic and whatnot. But Gerald helps him out. And Gerald kind of becomes like a role model for Cade that night, right?
Yeah, Gerald definitely, of all the types of adventurers, Gerald was definitely one of the ones with his head on straight, which is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, guy had a good head on his set of shoulders. I don't know exactly how that saying goes.
Good head on between his shoulders.
Yeah, that's
I believe. Leave me alone. Or a good head on his shoulders. Wait, now I don't even know. Oh,
oh
no.
God. Oh god. I'm infecting you, Ben. Run while you can. yeah, Gerald's got his life set pretty straight. He's got it all figured out for the most part. But so this like spawns, and this becomes, you know, from here on out, Cade actually tries to strive to act more mature from this point forward in the campaign. And this is where things like Papa Cade start to, you know, strive from, where soon after this adventure, Cade like adopts a gnome and tries to be a better role model for other people in the party, like Lava Lamp and such, and try and be more mature and take things more seriously from here on out and whatnot. So that's all good and all that. But you know, now our two characters here are good buddies. Right? They've connected emotionally together.
Yeah.
And then something very, very crucial happened to this story. What happened is that one Sunday, which is the day that we ran this game, no one showed up except for me, Ben, and the DM.
That is a thing that happened.
So what we did is we just had a day of relaxing and hanging out, and we kind of half played D&D along with it, for the most part, we were just chilling. But yeah, we just like role played a day at the island and what we did that day. And it was just a bunch of like nonchalant, chill stuff that we were doing. You know?
Yeah.
It started just... off with us visiting the beach, just Gerald and Cade.
Yeah, and it was honestly like we really didn't have anything. Like Kevin was even like, "Do you guys even want to do anything?" And we were like, "Actually, you know what?
I think we want to wait for the other players, you know.
Yeah, let's just go to the beach. Like let's just go do our thing."
Yeah. So we went to the beach. My character learned how to surf. My character on his character sheet actually says that he is proficient in surfing because he rolled so high on his first attempt at surfing. Because I think Kevin asked for me to make an acrobatics check and also something else. But it was like a combined check. But I, Jake, got confused and thought he wanted me to roll twice when really he just wanted me to roll once and add two modifiers to it, like both of the modifiers, and he would accommodate the DC for it, of course. And I misinterpreted and rolled two dice and like rolled pretty good on both the dice, so I rolled like a 40-something or like a 50-something maybe even, because like acrobatics I had expertise in, and then two really good D20 rolls. Like, I got, like, 30 from that alone, plus, like, you know, level 15, or level, like, 12, 13-ish expertise is, like, pretty high modifier, plus whatever my other modifier was. So I, like, rolled really high. And he was just like, whatever, you're proficient in surfing now. You killed it. That's how good you are. You're natural.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm on the beach building sandcastles with magic.
Yeah, so that happens. And so now my character is proficient in surfing in a landlocked city that he lives in back at home, right?
Yeah.
But yeah,
you gotta install a magical, like, forever
wave pool.
Wave pool, yeah.
Just a bunch of... I already, like, have a bunch of wizards under payroll, so I just gotta get them each, like, a scroll of tidal wave and control water to put in their spellbooks.
You can go
surfing
whenever
you want.
Just
keep doing that day after day. Make a wave pool. But yeah, so you just got on to the next point. Gerald, while I'm doing that, Gerald starts building a castle, a sand castle, with spells. I can't remember if it was like mold earth or stone shape or whatever. But, you know, Gerald makes this really elaborate castle. Then Cade comes along, and Cade makes another castle. And then we utilize a number of other spells, including... such of as like minor illusion to make a bunch of, because it's like a 5-foot square, so we had our castles and then we used minor illusion for like the 5 feet in between our castles to just like, I just made armies, like just miniature tiny little armies, because it's just one illusion, like it could be multiple things, you know, it just has to be within that one area. So we used minor illusion to make a bunch of armies, just like regime after regime of just like squadrons of people over and over, just a bunch of them. Just little tiny dudes.
We also made like siege weaponry, and we would,
yep,
whenever it hit, I would use thaumaturgy to make the earth actually shake a little bit.
And also you use thaumaturgy for like the voices of the tiny soldiers that we had.
Yeah, I did.
Of them fighting each other and the little clink, 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 clinks of their like swords hitting their armors and whatnot. And then also, whenever the siege weapons would go and hit our castles, I would use, what's it called? I can't think of it right now for whatever reason. Dancing lights. I would use dancing lights to like, and I would reshape the lights, because you can make it look like whatever you want. Normally I have like little swimming lizards because of Zuck, my lizard familiar. But I would make it just look like fires just like coming out of the the sand castles on each of our sides.
Yeah, it was without a doubt, I think,
one of the best
sandcastle reenactments that could possibly be done in D&D. It was pretty great. And, you know, some people might say, Traveler Jake, Traveler Ben, how were your characters concentrating on all these things happening at once? How about you just leave us alone, huh? Where's the fun in that? You know?
Yeah. Everyone knows that on a beach episode, you can get hit with, like, a world-ending attack, and it's all fun and games because it was a volleyball match the whole time.
But yeah, so we do that. That was a lot of fun. Honestly, one of my favorite things that I've ever done at D&D. Just having this, like, miniature battle between two kingdoms. It was really cool. But then we just went for a walk down the beach. We did a little bit of, like, information gathering for the quests that we had to do there.
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot, though. We took a tour of the island in general. You know, we saw all the different places. Like, we went to, like, just, like, the general village area. We went to the beach, obviously. We went to, like, the southern beach. Was very different from the... I believe it was Western Beach that we were at before. Something and like we went to like the lines. Forests and stuff. It was a good time. Also, by the end of the day, Gerald cast Heroes Feast, and we prepared this big old feast for the village leaders, and they liked us so much that they allowed us to sleep in their own house that night. It's pretty poggers, if you ask me.
And every night after that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, because it was like, let's give something back to these guys.
Yeah, like they were like, they were like nice people, but they were not very hospitable. They were very protected and guarded, you know. So it was like a very rare thing to let outsiders sleep in their house, obviously. We had houses, like little like huts that we our characters were sleeping in, but, you know, they were like off somewhere else. Not where they were. But yeah, that was pretty cool. So we went to sleep that night. We had a really good day.
Yeah, and then, honestly.
I think it was the next really, session.
Like, yeah, the next, was it? Yeah, I think we spent the whole session on just that.
Just that one day where we just hung out. Didn't do much.
It was learned to cool. surf. Put on a couple shows.
Yep. We impressed the village children. They were gawking at our sandcastle. Oh, wait. Didn't we also go to, like, a little carnival or, like, fair? Right? And they were, like, carnival games. Like, the game where, like, you have to throw the ball into a bucket that's, like, tilted on its side. And it's, like, pretty rigged so that if you have to hit the bucket in, like, the perfect space or else the ball will just bounce out of the bucket. Even if you hit the bucket, right?
I think so, but I think Gerald didn't, but I think you killed it.
I killed it because it was a sleight of hand check, because you had to throw it correctly, and I was a rogue, so I was insanely good at sleight of hand. So I was just like, oh, I got this, and I just, like, tossed it in super easy, time after time after time. Also because I'm a halfling, so even if I did roll, like, it was, like, worst come outcome, I mean, I'm a high-level rogue, so I have reliable talent, so if I roll lower than a 10, then I just get a 10 plus my modifier, which is, like, crazy good. And then if I roll a 1, I get to re-roll, because I'm a halfling. So, you know, doesn't matter. I do great. And yeah. So, like, I changed, like, their stories that they told around the campfires of, like, the lore of the island about how it was created, because it was, like, lore based about, like, some dragon turtle or something and how it like came here or whatever. I can't remember exactly what it was, but, like, I changed how they tell that story because I did it so smoothly. I kind of, like, made the dragon turtle sound cooler because he was, like, more smooth.
Which... We did eventually find out that the dragon turtle was a thing because its spirit was residing in, like, a temple underwater.
Yeah. It was crazy. But yeah, so flash to the next day, I think, right? Where we had more people show up to the session. So we were no longer just doing Cade and Gerald's day off.
Yeah, which was, you know, it was after that.
Yeah. It wasn't, but I mean, the there's still same. Some pretty good bullet points.
That's true. We went through a couple temples. We went and we, God, we went through a couple temples, but the one that stuck with me was the water temple. Because mm-hmm. we get in there and it's supposed to be really hard. There's like the spirit of a dragon turtle in the lake, and there's like crocodile or alligators or something like that. Deadly predators. And I think Dalton's character got stuck in there because he went to explore it without us. So yeah, when we went through, I just used control water and just water bended us through the plate. And Kevin was kind of done with us after that. Because it was literally like we were going through every temple like it was nothing. And that one was the worst one.
Yeah.
And it was just like, yeah, we're just going to control water the entire way through. And he's like, well, it's going to take longer than the spell. I was like, I'll just cast it again.
I got more than one spell slot.
Yeah. And I think at one point, I think I forced the water back to the point where I broke some of the machines in the temple that were supposed to raise and lower the water. So eventually,
I think someone else had to cast like levitate or something to get the rest of us up there because we couldn't just swim up there anymore because the water was broken or whatever.
Yeah.
It was weird.
We broke it with magic and then had to fix it with magic.
But we didn't fix anything. We just got us to where we needed to be with magic.
Yeah, so we cleared that temple out. And then after that, there's only one temple left, and it's inside the volcano, which is the one we've been avoiding, because it's inside the volcano.
The big mountain.
Yeah. Okay. So we team up with this dude, who's like this veteran warrior. His name is Tiberos.
Something like that.
Tiberos. Yeah, it was Tiberos, because I remember... I remember because I accidentally named a character separately whose surname is Ty and his name is Barros. And I was like, his name's Ty Barros. And Kevin was like, Ty Barros? I was like, no, Ty Barros. Like, as in, like, his last name is first because he's from that country where that's a thing. And they was like, oh, okay.
His name is technically Barros Ty, but.
Yeah,
it's pronounced Ty Barros just because of the culture, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's how I remember that guy's name is Ty Barros.
Yeah.
So we team up with him. Yeah, we go and we get to the front door and then we kind of leave him behind so that we can go through a little faster because he's like, I'll hold down the fort. He's like this old warrior dude.
Yeah, he was like guarding the entrance to make sure we weren't followed or something.
Yeah, which he was locked inside.
Yeah, something like that. It was weird.
Yeah, so we go up.
Memory is kind of fishy, but...
Yeah, we're exploring this volcano. It's hot, you know? And our god, my god, not our god, my god,
yeah.
Was like, hey, yo, bruh, there's like... I wish I was kidding, but this is actually how we voiced my god, because of just the way it was. He was like, hey, yo, bruh, there's like this ancient evil, this undead thing... at the top of this volcano, I need you to kill it. And I was like ready to argue. I was like, I can't kill it. I can't kill anything. That's the way my religion works. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Mr. Religion.
I pray to you every day. There's a shrine of you in my room. I kill it. And he's like, it's not alive, so you're allowed to kill it. And I was like, you know what? Fine. So we get up there and we're hiding and we're looking and there is a lich. And one important thing to note about Kevin is that Kevin, before he joined my game, had only ever played 3.5 edition. And he used the stats of a lich from 3.5 that he quickly adapted to 5th edition. Mm-hmm. So he kept it with all the broken spells that it had that caused like paralysis en masse, okay? This thing is like the most broken lich I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And we're just like... He really had to pull out all the stops with his final boss. So we're like crouching behind a rock and we're like, God, how do we take this thing down? And my god's like, kill it. You can kill it. I was like, you know what? Fine. And like, I pulled out my scalpel because I'm a doctor. I carry a scalpel.
It's your only actual weapon.
Yeah. And I like twirl it in my fingers and I catch it like a dagger. And I'm just like, fine, I'll finally get to kill something. And I jump up and I take off running. And I roll just above this thing in initiative, I think. And you guys were like after me.
Yeah.
So I charge and I he throws a spell at me. And I pass, like, he does nothing. And he throws another spell at me as, like, a reaction, and it does nothing. Like, I just, like, completely ignore it. So I've already dodged two paralysis spells. I jab him with my dagger, like, with a successful attack. And I, like, tackle him off the edge of this thing into the volcano. I think Cade and everyone else was like, Gerald!
What? No!
Yeah, because Kevin was like, I'll give you a choice. You can either tackle this thing and go in with it, or you could just have this be an attack. I was like, oh, I'm going in. And I was like, and let me tell you why. On the way down, as the heat is burning up Gerald, he uses a bonus action to heal himself, because that's a thing he can do. And then yeah. They get into the lava, and it deals a bunch of damage, not going to lie. His scalpel melts, his clothes are burning. But he uses a spell called Water Walk, which allows him to stand on liquid surfaces. But because I was deep enough in the lava, Kevin ruled that I should shoot out back all the way up almost to where I was before. Because of how fast up you go. So I jumped in, used it, went. I healed on the way down, went in, used the spell, jumped back out, landed on the edge of the cliff, and then healed myself again as a bonus action. So all my hair is messed up, my glasses are melted, my scalpel's gone, all my clothes are burned off, except for like my bare underwear, and I was just like, well, that worked.
And then cut to all of our characters just like peeking around a rock with our jaws physically unhinged from our freaking skulls just rolling down the floor.
Yeah, because this all is so literally surprised. This is literally a man who has never hurt anything in its life. Like,
he is literally now.
The party has never seen him attack. They've never seen him do anything violent ever.
Yeah.
He's like, he doesn't even do things that even slightly inconvenience like the enemies. Like, he just heals. And they just saw him one shot a lich. And then after that, we went and we found, like, a Draco Lich that was, like, partially frozen in the mountain or something like that.
Something like that,
and
yeah.
We like,
took one of his scales.
Yeah, Gerald tried to save him, but there's nothing he could do, and then the party ended up killing him.
Yeah.
And then... well, then we had to get out down the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
So Gerald had this idea. He was like, why don't I just use control water and make a giant wheel of ice and ride it down like a top, right? Like, put wheel of ice, pivot through the wheel, and then a platform on top that we just control with magic.
Yeah.
And I made two chairs on it. And there, in the chairs, there was little tables, and they had little martini glasses full of water and ice, because there was all I could make out of it. And...
But luckily, Cade also has endless alcohol.
Yes, so we did actually have drinks, I forgot.
Oh, wait, no, actually I don't yet. I don't have that yet.
No, you did not, but you still had alcohol on you. So we had drinks.
Yeah.
So we were riding, it's kind of hard to imagine, but there was a wheel of ice, and we were sitting on a platform connected to it that I was controlling with magic.
Mm-hmm.
Riding our way down the mountainside, drinking basically martinis. And everyone else in the party was like, oh, come on.
It was just us two as well. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anyone else. It was just us.
And then as we see the village come up, we realize, or I realize, I was like, wait, aren't we forgetting something? Tiberos. He's still in the first chamber. We locked him in. So I turn a wheel around and I start making it go back up. And I remember this part vividly because it scared me to death that Gerald was about to make a huge mistake. We went back up and I saw the door and I was like, all right, I bet you if I just keep this momentum going and I turn this into a big spike of ice at the last second, I'll just blast through that door. Right? Yeah. So I'm going, and I do this, and it's flying towards the door, and that's when Kevin was like, yeah, you hear this, like, banging on the door, and I was like, no! So I melted the ice into water at the last second, right as he burst through the door, and he just got flooded. He just got knocked almost completely over by this flood of water. And I was like, Ty, bro, are you okay? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm good.
I'm totally fine, bro. Yeah.
My armor is designed to be at the bottom of the ocean. This is nothing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true. His armor is literally designed to be at the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Kalkokin armor. He wrote his own language for that island. I'm still impressed by that.
Yep.
So we did that. He translates
from time to time because his character in our world that came from here knows that language.
Yes. I use that language as Aquan now. Mm-hmm. Just in honor of that.
Yeah.
So that was a thing. Mm-hmm. So then we get back on our wheel and we head back down. We left Tiberos to do his own thing. And we get back into town and we're like, man, what do we do now? So I think we celebrated by drinking. And that is when Gerald and Lynn hooked up, huh? Because mm-hmm. I was just like... We were just like, oh, we're going to hook up. And I rolled for performance, and I rolled really badly. And then I said, let me roll for animal handling. And everyone was like, what? And I rolled a nat 20. And everyone was like, oh! I was like, yeah, that's how Gerald rolls.
This section of the podcast is not PG-13, by the way.
It's only that way if you know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So... Gerald and Lynn soon become married.
Yeah. Well, there was also the bit with, like, the succubus and, like, that we had to deal with on the island. There was a couple other, like, little side adventures that let us get mm-hmm. closer. But eventually, yeah, Lynn and Gerald got married, and then we broke the law on the island.
Yeah.
Because one of our party members got drunk, and we rolled on a carousing table. And they ended up, like, a couple of them together ended up on another continent. And we managed to get in touch with them.
I'm not going to lie, for the listeners, this is one of, like, literally three sessions that I wasn't there for.
Okay, well, we used...
the whole game.
We used, I believe, the earrings, but it could have been a couple other things. No, we used the earrings, for sure. That you guys, that they can send messages through. So we use that.
I can't remember if we had those yet.
Then we used the spell sending is what we used.
Okay.
No, we had sending stones. That's what we literally had sending stones. And I was like, tell them if they have this spell, which was teleportation circle, that mm-hmm. the sigil was going to be up, down, left, right, AB. Start. Start. Yeah. And they were like, what? I was like, just tell them that that's the code. If they have the teleportation circle spell, I'll make a circle here, and they make a circle there, and we'll connect. And that didn't directly break the law. But then after they got through, we were like, hey, we fixed it. Let's go celebrate. Let's go party. I didn't erase the circle. Mm-hmm. And then someone else came through the circle, mm-hmm. thus allowing an outsider onto the island, thus breaking the law. Mm-hmm. Which got everyone kicked off the island.
Everyone except...
except Gerald and Lynn, because Lynn is a native and Gerald married her, thus making him allowed to stay legally.
So Gerald messed up all of our vacation, and he didn't even get punished for it. He was the only one that didn't get punished for it. So we all had to go through the teleportation circle again and go back to the other city that was also in Kevin's world.
Yeah.
And yada, yada, yada. This is also actually, this is where we got Harbeck from.
Yeah, Harbeck Holderheck.
Harbeck Holderheck is from this world, and so is the fabled Jabble Fabble Stamp.
Jabble Fabble.
And so Ben retired Gerald Smith and started playing Jabble Fabble Stamp as a mystic. Mm-hmm. And... this is the point where Cade immediately pivoted from being the child figure in a kind of parent-child relationship to the parent figure in a parent-child relationship, except he was really childish still, and he eventually adopted Jabble Fabble Stamp. and thus creating, you know, Papa Cade, who
I'm not gonna lie, kind
of like the party mom.
It still breaks my heart, the conversation that Cade and Gerald had when Gerald was like, "I'm staying on the island. I'm not going with you guys. Like, I'm gonna stay here." And
Cade
then
Cade was so hurt.
And then Cade eventually came back to the island, like, by pure accident, actually.
Did I?
Yeah, because you, Lava, and a couple other people teleported by accident to the island.
So like, far on
completely
accident.
Completely random. I rolled for it.
So even. Off course. You were like, you got, actually,
you guys
should land here.
You guys got teleported off target, and I rolled for the distance, and I looked at the map, and I mapped it out, and I was like, you land on the beach at... on this island, on Plumasan's Isle. I'm not even joking. And Gerald managed to cure Lava of his lichdom. Cade wanted to, like, have a conversation with Gerald, and he was like, so you should come visit. And Gerald was like, I don't know if I can. Like, and he revealed that he had kids now. And then he was like, I can't just leave.
Cade's heart broke that day.
Yeah.
It was so sad.
Oh, man.
But yeah.
You know what? I'll make it canon right now that Gerald has visited the Staggering Jester.
Oh, yay!
And that he's brought two of his kids.
They had so much hummus and pizza. Oh, yeah.
I will say he brought Feyre and Damien, but he did not bring Minora.
Aw. Oh, well.
Because she's a thing.
Did Lynn come too?
No, she had to watch Minota.
That's fair. But that's nice! Yay! I'm so happy. They probably set up this like cool elaborate fight again, but even more drastic and big.
Dude, even more. Also, I think it's important to note, just because I don't know when I'll talk about Gerald next, that Gerald did in fact have a catchphrase.
Yeah. What was that?
Well, honestly.
Well, honestly.
He said that all the time. I still don't know where in my brain that phrase took hold, but whenever I was talking as Gerald, he would just say that all the time. I would just say it. Like, it was just felt natural. And even now, when I think of Gerald, I'm just like, well, honestly, I think that maybe he just talks like that. And it just comes out. It's just the word honestly is in his brain all the time.
I love Gerald because he's like the perfect implementation of a very modernized type of character, because he's just a doctor dude. Like the man literally wears khakis. He wears khaki shorts. Like, that's literally what he wears.
He wears khaki shorts, high white socks, so like
hiking boots,
a green like sweater. Tucked in sweater, like sweater with shirt. With a overcoat, like a doctor's coat on.
And
he carries and around glasses. Like a doctor's bag. He wears glasses. And whenever he needed to see in the dark, he would cast light by pushing up his glasses with his middle finger.
Yeah.
And he would cast light on the glasses, like on the bridge of his nose.
So he had like kind of like a miner's helmet focused light.
Yep. On his glasses.
Yeah.
It was
how that didn't blind him, I don't know, but I wasn't the DM, so I didn't bring it up. But yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. That's the story of Gerald and Cade.
Yeah, so far, anyway.
So far.
Gerald may or may not make an appearance in future games, a.k.a. Yeah. My big campaign we may or may not put on Traveler's Twitch or YouTube.
Yeah, so stay tuned, I guess. I can't wait to maybe even play as Cade to interact with Jabal. You know, maybe I can swap into Cade's shoes every now and then, maybe if it comes up. I don't know. Probably not. But I still am excited to interact with Gerald again. He's one of my favorite characters of yours.
And I really didn't play him for that long.
You didn't. You really didn't.
Also, I did at the end, I dipped into Warlock a little bit for Gerald. Because I was experimenting with a new subclass that Kevin came up with. And oh god, did I use that to utmost absolute absurdity. Like, at one point, I used Thaumaturgy to scream run when the party got in trouble with this big group of people. And then I use one of the abilities to silence like a 100-foot area or something like that. Something absurd. So it was like this deafening yell and then silence, and everyone panicked and the party booked it.
Did you do that as Gerald?
I did do that as Gerald, because Gerald actually cannot... Technically, Gerald left the island with you guys, but then came back to the island.
Oh. Okay.
Like, he went just long enough to be like, all right, I've left the island, but now, honestly, I gotta tell you guys, I gotta go back. I don't want to leave the island.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go retire. Like, I came just long enough to tell you guys that.
Yeah.
And then that's when you guys ran into Jabba Fable.
I think it's really fitting that out of the two characters in our games that have, like, canonically retired and just, like, stopped adventuring and just lived out the rest of their lives peacefully are Cade and Gerald.
Yeah. No one else is really... Well, Swingy has.
I guess, yeah.
Swingy has.
Bailey's character.
Yeah, he managed to live out the rest of his life peacefully.
That's true.
He managed to live out more than just his life, because he took the boon of immortality.
Well, yeah, that's kind of cheating, but, you know, who cares? That is very much not a boon that Cade would ever want to play with. He's like, you know what? I'm good. I recognize that I should have an end on this godforsaken planet, and it's a thing that should happen. Yeah. There should be a time without Cade.
The only issue I have with the Boon of Immortality is it basically guarantees that you'll die a horrible death.
Yeah.
Because you can't die of old age. You don't age anymore.
Yeah.
So one day you will die. Statistically speaking, you have to die.
Or something will kill you.
Yeah. Either it's like dying of exhaustion or starvation, or someone murders you, or you get eaten, or you get blown up at the end of existence. The chances of
you living a miserable life are pretty high, because, you know, you're going to outlive a lot of people and whatnot. So, you know, yeah. I mean,
well,
this is,
you
just
know,
like...
what? For Swingy, it worked out because his wife is also immortal, and
that's
so
true.
Is his daughter that he adopted.
That's true.
Because his wife is a demon lord, technically
right.
speaking.
But anyways, I think that's probably enough. Touching on enough here, I think.
Oh, yeah. We've gone way off topic at this point.
Yeah. Some of it might even be cut. Who knows? The audience doesn't.
Yeah, they'll never know what they... Dude, they'll never know what they missed.
Well, actually, they might one day. But anyways...
When the blooper reel comes around.
Do you have any idea what kind of places that these people can find us on the internet, Ben?
No.
Well, luckily, I do. if any of our listeners didn't know, they can find out right now that we also upload all of our podcasts onto YouTube at Traveler's Tips and Tales. We also upload a spare video here and there. It's just kind of turned out that it's a lot easier for us to just keep covering the content that we wanted to put on YouTube just in our Traveler's podcast format, just because of time. Sorry. But it's what happens. So you can find all of our episodes, that our sessions, as we call them, of our Travelers, you know, sessions. We upload all of them to YouTube at the exact same time as we do to all of our other podcast platforms. So you guys can watch them there right away with no delay if you want. But if you want to get in on it early, you can go ahead and sign up on our Patreon at Travelers Tips and Tales. Our YouTube is also Travelers Tips and Tales, apologies. But our Patreon at Travelers Tips and Tales, and you can subscribe at, I don't remember which tier it is, but you can get all of our episodes early, and you can also get access to like our Discord, where you can suggest any topics that you might want us to talk about. Also, you can talk to us every month for like an hour or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but you know, you could talk to us one-on-one. Any of the travelers of your choice and whatnot. Also, you get access to a lot of homebrew things, which if you are kind of feeling iffy about and you want to try and test the waters, you can see a couple of different homebrew things that we have available on our website, travelerstipsandtales.com. So you can try it out and see if you might like what you see, and then, you know, you might want to subscribe to our Patreon to get a bit more. But you can check us out on travelerstipsandtales.com for that kind of stuff. We also have, for our socials, we have an Instagram Travelers Tips and Tales. We have a Facebook at Travelers Tips and Tales. We have a Twitter at Tips Tales. We have a Tumblr at Travelers Tips and Tales. If you want to go check those out and see what we're doing there. I think for the most part, Instagram is probably our most up to date. And even that is kind of iffy, but we post memes every now and then from there, and you can go check those out. So there's some of those memes that I really, really, truly do love.
Point is, like, we're on really social media.
Yeah. And also, if you want, you can email us any questions that you may have about our podcast or about D&D in general or about us. Or you can just call us Stinky Poo Poo if you want. We don't really care. Any social interaction is loved by us, so go ahead and check it out at travelerstipsandtales@gmail.com and send us an email if you'd like. But other than that...
Yeah, other than all that...
I would like to take a moment here to personally thank a very good lady who goes by the name of Ben's mom. she's a very nice lady who is one of our patrons. So thank you very much, Ben's mom.
Yeah, she's in our top tier where you get shouted out on the podcast. There's also a tier where we go ahead and put your name in the credits.
And yada, yada, yada.
And there's all sorts of other benefits. So if you're interested, go ahead and check that out. We like to make sure that you guys are rewarded for actually liking us, because it means a lot.
But other than that, this one was kind of a short one, but we tried to, you know, keep it along the guidelines for the most part. But yeah, until next time.
Adventure awaits!